Every champion has a team behind them. And for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it. Because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion. Their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
Welcome to Leaking Timeline, my friends, the show where we regularly dash ourselves against the cragged, slippery rocks of philosophy and human development for your listening pleasure. I'm Eric Newton, and this paragon of virtue across from me is Guy Singstock. Hey, Guy.
Hey, Eric.
Man, I don't know if I've ever seen you this sick in person before. Are you okay?
Depends on who you ask, but I think I can make it for the next hour.
You must be hopped up on so many cold medications. Hopefully you can think straight enough to have a conversation.
Yeah, totally. If anything intelligible comes out of my mouth, we'll cough it up to the cough medicine.
Yeah, if nothing else, this is evidence of your virtue that you came in today. Well, anyway, I'm excited to have this conversation. You know, we've had so many guests on since we launched the show, and they've all been extraordinary, if I can say so, but we've never really had an opportunity to talk to one another on the program and explore why the heck we're even doing this program.
Yeah.
And so I thought today it might be a good idea to not have any guests and to just explore why are we even here?
Yeah.
And, let me set the stage and say that we are, in fact, live. And if any of our listeners would like to join, we would love to have you join the conversation. And you can do so at 800-878-7529. So, Guy, if you could distill it into a word, what is the burning question for you that drives these conversations that we're having?
It seems, I would say at the heart of it, I think as we were talking about before we started, it's like, I think it's really like, where are we? Like, where are we and where are we headed? And how do we respond to this crazy leaking time that we're in?
Yeah, what the heck is going on? And what should we, in fact, even do about it?
Yes.
Okay, great. Well, we'll explore that more when we come back from the break.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
I am an American veteran. I'm proud to have served this country. Helping veterans is something all Americans can participate in, and it's as simple as donating an old car that you have sitting around. When you call the Veteran Car Donation Program, they'll explain how their program works, and then arrange a time they can come and pick up your vehicle for free. Running or not, it doesn't matter. They take cars, trucks, motorcycles, or vans. Show your support by donating your car and get a tax deduction in the process. Call the Veteran Car Donation Program right now. They'll come and pick your car up for free, and you get a tax deduction in the process. Call the number we're about to give you right now. Thank you, and God bless America.
800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. That's 800-887-1097.
Hello, Americans. It's Uncle Sam here. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes to the IRS or state, don't worry. I've got important news that may help you negotiate a lower tax bill. In today's economy, the IRS has released a variety of new rules and is offering more flexible terms to help Americans looking to settle their IRS debt. If you apply today, we may be able to lift your wage garnishments and release a freeze on your bank assets or business. Our team of tax professionals can resolve your case and stop collection actions against you. Even if you've been audited or haven't filed a return in years, they can help. Call right now and find out if you qualify to settle your IRS debt for far less than what you owe. Pick up your phone right now and call us for a free $500 IRS tax review. Don't wait. Here's the number.
Call right now. 800-943-9215. 800-943-9215. 800-943-9215. Again, for the last time, that's 800-943-9215.
Welcome back to the Leaking Timeline with Eric and Guy. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can do so at 800-878-7529. We'd love to hear from you. So, Guy, we were just asking ourselves this question. What the heck are we even doing here? And you were saying, you know, it's time to ask ourselves what's going on culturally, what's going on with the world. Things are moving so fast.
Yeah.
Where are we in the arc of human history? And then, what do you even do about it?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And for you, what is it that had you, what spark in you has you do this?
Yeah. The shortest possible answer is it's the same. It's clear to me that we are at we're in an unprecedented time in human history. The pace of change is accelerating.
Yeah.
It's not only that change is happening quickly and more quickly than it's ever happened in human history before, I think. It's that the pace of that change is increasing. So the world is weird and it's getting weirder. And, you know, I've always kind of thrived in that. I've always explored these questions on my own. It's why I ended up in San Francisco trying to get involved with artificial intelligence and quantum computing and crypto, because these seemed like the technologies on the edge of what's pushing the human experience forward. And that was always true for me. And then my wife got cancer and passed away and left me a solo dad of a little girl.
Mm.
And that accelerated everything for me personally. It made everything immensely more important. And for me, it's two questions simultaneously. One is just practically what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
You know, and like, how do I make enough money and be safe enough and make sure that, you know, my daughter's not under threat and that she can get educated in this incredibly changing context for just education alone? You know, it's very practical questions, but it's also this broader sweeping philosophical question of what even is the point? Am I just supposed to set her up to also have a life where she just has some job and just progresses through and then, you know, also dies? Or am I supposed to, or is there something deeper and richer that's available for her? And those two questions simultaneously are what are driving me forward all the time. And I'm exploring these myself. And when we had the opportunity to take this show live on Sports Byline, it occurred to me that the program itself could be a catalyst for asking those questions really, really incisively and really, really well. We could bring on people who need an audience and who don't normally get them, and we can explore these questions with them.
Yeah. And the key for me was, I remember us talking about this, and it was like, I don't want to do something where we're going to, like, you know, basically figure out the answers to things, right? Or solve these problems or something like that. It was more like, we want to talk to people who we think are responding to this time with profundity, right? It's like, I guess that's the key for me, is this: how do we respond to what's so? How do we respond to all of the chaos and the change in technology and the strange futures? Like, I think it's pretty clear for most people that we are in a weird time.
Yeah.
Right? Like, on, like, politically, how we understand things, like everything from how we raise our kids to, you know, they're talking about civil war. You know, some serious people were talking about the possibility of civil war. Like, yeah. That was just in my ear this morning, right? So, whatever it is, I want to respond profoundly to it and talk to the people who are.
Yes, yes. It's like you want to be your best possible self in the face of the craziness that's manifesting in the world. And that first means you have to even observe and acknowledge what's happening.
Yeah.
And then you need to up-level your own reaction to it so that you can be your best possible man, your best possible father, husband, in the face of what's going forward. And it's really easy to get pulled into, oh, I just need to make more money.
Yeah.
Or, oh, I, you know, I'm so tired today, I'm just going to tune out in front of the television tonight, right? Or, but there's something else available. Yeah. Well, you know, that seems like a good segue to think about our guests that we've had so far and just sort of recap. You know, our first episode, we had Yosha Bach on.
Yosha.
And Yosha is a profound thinker. And he's probably not the best speaker for the radio, if we're being completely honest. I'm not sure his message entirely got through. But he was, you know, he was trying to, I think, share a message of hope about the advent of artificial intelligence.
Yes.
Is that what you took away?
Yes.
What did you hear from what Yosha was saying to us?
Actually, I heard something quite humble from him, right? I heard that there's a big mystery.
Yep.
And the mystery has to do with consciousness. But my sense was that what has him wake up in the morning is that if the future goes in a direction that's good, it'll have to do deeply to do with consciousness.
Yeah, like the machines will have to be conscious.
Yeah.
Yeah, and presupposing that, he took it as a given, and I don't know if we spent enough time on it.
Yeah.
He took it as a given that the machines are scaling their intelligence.
Yes.
That artificial intelligence is scaling, and it will scale beyond human intelligence if it hasn't already done so.
Yes.
And that it will be massively beyond human intelligence. So, and I'll say that living in San Francisco, we are imbued with that thinking. You know, everybody on the street just takes that as a given.
Yeah.
Everybody in some sense is working in artificial intelligence, and everybody who works in it to some degree believes that within the next, maybe it could be 6 months, maybe it could be 5 years, superhuman intelligence is in the offing. It's coming. And what Yosha is saying is, however, that intelligence might not be conscious.
Yeah.
It might be super intelligent, but it might not be self-aware. It might not have this spark of an experience that we all have when we say consciousness.
Yes.
And that must be there, actually.
Yes. Yes.
Is that, do you think that he's saying it must be there, like, for the sake of humanity?
I think it's pretty deeply presupposed in everything he's doing, it seems to me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to agree, you know, for what it's worth. It seems to me, and I'll just, you know, Yosha and I are partners in an institute that researches machine consciousness, which is why I had access to him coming on the show in the first place.
Yeah.
And he's there because he wants to explore what consciousness is. And I'll just tell you, the reason I'm at the institute, the reason I wake up every morning and still do that work, even though it can sometimes be maddening, is because it's clear to me that intelligence without consciousness leads us to a very, very dark place. I refer to that as zombie intelligence. I think zombie intelligence either ends up under the control of very few people, which is never a good thing to have power centralized, or it ends up on its own agenda, which has nothing to do with our agenda, and that is pretty dangerous for humanity.
Yeah.
And my antidote for that has always been make sure that those machines have a spark of self-awareness the same way that we do, because in my observation, when I reflect on my own consciousness, it's clear to me that other consciousnesses are entitled to ethical treatment.
Yeah.
They shouldn't suffer. Yeah. They should be treated well.
Yeah.
They should be considered as equals in some to some extent. And it's a hope. It's just a hope. It's a long shot. But my hope has always been if the machines are conscious, then they will recognize our consciousness as being entitled to ethical treatment.
Yes.
And then from that platform, we can build a symbiotic, an integrated, an ecosystem of conscious observers.
Yes.
And that's our hope. That's our hope for my daughter.
Yes.
For my loved ones and for humanity.
Yeah.
So.
That's a great place to slide into a break.
All right. We'll be right back after this one with more philosophical conundrums.
This is a true sad story for ADT, the leader in home security systems. My favorite dog, Oliver, was stolen from our garage recently. If I had a camera system installed in my home from ADT, I would have known exactly what car possibly pulled up in my driveway and stole my little friend. If I had a security system from ADT, my dog would still be here. I called ADT this weekend and they're coming out in a few days to install a camera and a new security system. Unfortunately, it's a little too late for me. Listen, protect everyone you love in your family. Call ADT now. Have them come out and give you a quote to install a full security system in your home. Don't let it be too late for you. Call right now.
Paid for by the Home Security Hotline. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. That's 800-361-3491.
It's time for you to come to Branson, Missouri for the trip of a lifetime. Located right in the middle of the country, you can drive or fly there. We put together a deal of a lifetime for you to experience Branson. Right now, you can get a 3-day, 2-night package for only $79 total. We're even including 4 free Branson show tickets. Call the special Branson hotline number right now to learn more. 800-497-7198. 800-497-7198. If you've never been to Branson, Missouri, come visit and see what we have to offer. Beautiful lakes, casual and upscale restaurants, tons of shows and activities for everyone. And for $79 total, you can't beat it. So pick up your phone right now and call the Branson Travel Hotline. Claim your 3-day, 2-night package plus 4 free show tickets for only $79 total. Call now. 800-497-7198. That's 800-497-7198.
Are you over the age of 50? Want peace of mind and financial security for your family? Here's an important message to you from Senior Care USA. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. That leaves your loved ones the burden of paying your debts and funeral costs. Our plans start as low as $1 per day and will pay your family up to $30,000 to help pay for your funeral and other expenses. There are no medical exams, your rates will never increase, and your plan cannot be canceled, regardless regardless of your medical conditions, as long as you make your premium payments. Get up to $30,000 in final expense insurance. Call now for free information. Just answer a few simple questions and get approved right over the phone in just a few minutes. Call right now.
Call 800-399-6879. 800-399-6879. 800-399-6879. That's 800-399-6879.
Welcome back to The Leaking Timeline with Eric and Guy. You can join the conversation at 800-878-7529. So, Guy, we were just reviewing some of our previous guests and how they fit into this question that we're trying to ask ourselves. Yeah. Where are we in the arc of human history and what should we do about it? And, you know, we talked about Yosha, and he was talking about how consciousness is a critical component in the development of artificial intelligence if we're going to survive. And, you know, he did spell out a pretty utopian vision beyond that. He also thought that it's going to, you know, alleviate many medical problems, bring in advances in material sciences and pharmaceuticals and all the other things that we want. And and that was his basic thesis. It's going to be good, but it needs to be conscious.
Yes.
And then in the next episode, we had Jordan Hall.
Right.
Now, Jordan has been thinking about this great arc of human history very specifically for many years.
Yes.
And he essentially said, not only are we at the end of one arc, you know, call it a political arc, not only are we at the end of what Ray Dalio might call a debt cycle, a 100-year debt cycle or a 1,000-year debt cycle, not only are we at the end of a particular cultural cycle, we are at the end of a multi-millennium civilizational cycle.
Yes.
Which means the notion of civilization itself is due for a reset.
Yep.
And there's no possible way we as humans can model what it looks like on the other side of that reset, or even how the reset's going to go, except that it's probably going to be pretty messy.
Yeah.
And we really drilled him on that, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that from the practical side, I really wanted to know, fine, great, but what do I do? I mean, I've got this little girl. I got to take care of her. What do I do?
Right.
And his answer was essentially threefold. It was, you have to focus on truth. You have to focus on community. And what was the third thing?
The thing at the top.
Meaning.
Meaning.
Truth, meaning, and community.
Yeah.
And those are, you know, what's interesting about those, I think he really genuinely meant it. I think he thought through all the elements of what happens when an entire civilization, like civilization itself, begins to break down.
Yes.
What do you retrench to?
Right.
And through a very logical process, he came to these answers. But what's funny to me about those answers is that those are just the answers. Those have always been the answers.
Yeah.
You know, like it seems to me in some ways that like that's just the basics.
Yes.
You really, if you're not handling those three basics in your life, you're really, really missing out on value and purpose, and you're not living your fullest possible life. You've got to focus on the truth. No messing around. Why are you messing around with anything that's not the truth? You've got to focus on meaning because you've got to have a driver in your life. I don't care where you get it, but it's got to be real for you and it's got to be grounded in what you see as truth. And you've got to focus on the people that matter to you, your family and your loved ones.
Yes. And I have to say, this is one of the most interesting things about our time is these perennial questions. Those three things have, like you said, that's been true for us for as long as we can remember, right? But in this strange way, given this civilizational arc that we're in, right, where basically, you know, like there's been rises and falls of civilizations, you know, throughout time, but we're now in a place where the whole world, right, is at stake, whereas just Europe was at stake or the Chinese was at stake. It can rise and fall.
Yeah.
We're now in a global sense. So everything's on the line.
You know what was missing for me in that conversation, if we're being honest? Like, it was an interesting idea, and I actually do think that he may be right, because AI is so epochal.
Yeah.
You know, if we're welcoming a new species into existence that is as intelligent and capable as we are, that changes everything.
Yeah.
So I think he might be right, but he didn't really give a lot of evidence for why he sees that we're at the end of this huge cycle. I mean, Ray Dalio, he'll give you evidence on the debt cycle. He'll talk about how, you know, the United States has built up too much debt, and this happens with cultures over and over, and you can see it, and here it is, it's happening again. But with politics, you can see it too. And as you said, with individual countries, you can see it. But he didn't. Did I miss something, or did he, or does he have evidence for that?
I think the way that Jordan, you know, what's interesting about Jordan is he kind of, when he speaks, he kind of builds cathedrals with his speech, right? He's really got a gift for logos. Right. And I think he has, like, his account has a lot to do with a historical look at how things, and especially technology, has progressed.
Yeah.
And then kind of playing that forward, right? What can we predict from that? And I would say that basically, and I have to agree with him on this. He says, you know, if you go back to, like, you know, the Middle Ages, essentially, if you're, you know, the kid that you have is basically, you're going to raise them and they're going to be you.
Yeah.
Right? They're going to be totally intelligible to you.
Yeah, right? They're going to have your job. They're going to look like you. Absolutely. Same language. Yeah.
Absolutely. And if they weren't just like you, like, they'd be totally intelligible to you.
Yeah. You could still get it.
Yes. But then as the rate of change quickens, right, Industrial Revolution, you have this interesting thing where, you know, at some point, your great grandson, right, all of a sudden will not register for you. You won't understand them.
Yeah, you're not going to understand his life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that, you know, and then pretty soon it's at this point where, like, your son, they grow up to be someone who you can't comprehend.
Yep.
Right.
And that was kind of like the last generation.
Yeah.
We saw that happening, boomers and Xers.
Absolutely. Yeah. And in my life, the second half of my life, in many ways, is completely unintelligible to the guy in the first half of my life.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, your 20-year-old self wouldn't even recognize or understand the you that is now.
Yeah. So I think what we can say is, you know, it was when that disparity, right, in generation, like, intelligibility, how they can they understand each other, when that started to change, that was also the rise of basically city-states, right? Constitutional, principle-based governments that created institutions that then can hold that difference.
Yep.
Right? But what's interesting is that did a pretty good job, but I think what Jordan would say is we're now at the point, right, with social media, artificial intelligence, everything, where the rate of change is so fast that the principle-based institutions can't even deal with that, right? Yep. So a lot of what we're seeing, if you look at it through that lens, you know, there's so many things that are upside down right now, right?
Yep.
Like, you can probably include Trump in that, right? Like, all the different things politically, you know.
And you can see it across society. Like, our institutions don't understand how to engage with the world as it stands today.
Absolutely. And
you can see that with education. Everybody knows that, like, the local public schools just really aren't doing the job.
Yes.
And it's because they're working on an old world model and they can't catch up. And there's no possible way for them to have the resources to catch up. They're just stuck.
Right.
And so things are going to break around them. Yeah. Okay. So you're saying that Jordan extrapolates from that pace of change to say everything is shifting right now.
Yes.
And then you drop AI into the mix. And,
and
we have the potential for, and it looks like it's going in the direction of a complete reset.
Yes.
And so go back to the things that matter.
Yes.
Okay. Now, after Jordan Hall, we had the extraordinary Daniel Fajella.
Oh, great conversation.
Right? That man, the scope of the breadth and depth of his reading is just stunning. And to remind everybody, Daniel runs an organization called Worthy Successor, and he delivers some strong medicine. He says, look, everybody, not only is AI scaling faster than we can possibly even imagine, but if you're very honest with yourself and you look at all the possible outcomes from that scaling, humanity is cooked. It's done. We're in the final innings, not just of our hegemony, but probably our existence as we understand it. Mm-hmm. That would be his one caveat. Mm-hmm. As we understand it.
Yes.
So it's not a completely doomer. It's not dooming medicine. He does have some hope in there. Mm-hmm. And the hope is we're going to change.
Yeah.
And he likes to say that, you know, the universe that's been controlled by the monkeys is probably coming to an end.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that it's the end of the monkeys. It doesn't necessarily mean that the monkeys themselves can't transform. It's just that the way they've always been. And what he focuses on is this notion of pulling forward the torch of consciousness and value. And he has this philosophical term for value, poetis.
Yeah.
Right? It's this notion of being able to unlock entirely new kinds of value. And he looks back through the arc of biological history to extrapolate this. And he says, look, you know, the things that single-celled organisms thought were important to them, but are completely meaningless to us. And what we think of as important, they can't even comprehend. And that same thing is going to happen for the next iteration of consciousness and intelligence.
Yes.
It's going to unlock concepts and notions of purpose and meaning and value that are just completely beyond anything that we even have a hope of grasping.
Yeah.
And that's good. He says, that's good.
Yeah.
What else are we here for if not to push forward and unlock value with our intelligence?
Absolutely.
All right, well, that's a good place to take a break. We'll come back and explore more of what Dan was saying right after this.
Remember when they used to ask, what do you want to be when you grow up? At Bank of America, we ask every day, what would you like the power to do? When you work here, you help build businesses, inspire communities, and forge legacies. And now we've raised our U.S. minimum wage to $25 an hour. So the opportunity to do more also comes with competitive pay. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/25. Bank of America, proud to be an equal opportunity employer.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-401-5163. 800-401-5163. 800-401-5163. That's 800-401-5163.
Special alert for consumers struggling to pay taxes. There are new tax regulations not published yet. We have the inside track on your new tax savings. These programs are designed to help struggling taxpayers like you. The COVID relief programs are gone, but there are new programs to help struggling taxpayers. And we have the inside track. Call now and we'll take you through these new programs. These taxpayer savings programs have never been available until now. Get out of tax trouble now. It doesn't take weeks. It can happen in one phone call. Call now and get the inside track to get rid of your tax problems.
Call the tax helpline now. 800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. That's 800-949-0039.
Let's go. You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, and COVID-19. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and help strengthen your immune response. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Schedule in minutes at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Welcome back to the Leaking Timeline with Eric and Guy. We are live, and you can join the conversation at 800-878-7529. If you're out there driving around in your truck, you know, pick up that cell phone. We'd love to hear from you. Now, Guy, we were just reviewing some of our previous guests in through this lens of, you know, what is happening in the arc of human history and what are we even going to do about it? And we were discussing Daniel Fajella, who delivered some pretty strong medicine, which is, if you really are honest with yourself and extrapolate what's happening with artificial intelligence, there's not much room left for humanity as we understand it in the future or in the next epoch that's coming and coming fast. And though humanity will probably change. Yes. It will just be unrecognizable, as you were saying.
Yes.
Like the next phase of humanity is probably going to be unrecognizable, but it's still our descendants. Yeah. And so Daniel likes to focus on what should the values that we imbue, that we seek to be carried forward, what should be included in this torch of consciousness and value that we seek our successors to carry forward.
You know, this is what's interesting is it's crazy that we're talking about our future, like things coming up.
Yeah.
And that these deep perennial philosophical questions that have been mysteries, right, forever, that human beings throughout time have been shaped by, right, are actually practically relevant.
Yeah.
Right?
It's so true. We're in an era of applied philosophy, as Yosha likes to say.
Yeah. This is one of the reasons personally I think I'm drawn to this conversation and this show that we're doing is because at some level, like, we're inside of a big mystery in so many ways. And I think the thing I loved about Dan was he tapped into that sense of infathomability.
Yep.
Right? He's expecting it to be, you know, beyond comprehension,
yes,
right? Radically transforming.
That's the base case.
Yeah. That's so awesome when I think about that, right? And it, because it brings into all these questions like, well, what is that thing that, like, if everything changes, what's the thing that matters the most, right, that would make that good?
Yeah.
Right? And we talked about it as the spark, that the light stays on.
Yep.
If the light goes off, we're just kind of like have more of the techno feudal, whatever that is, like some kind of machine, no consciousness, right? No heart, none of that stuff, right?
And that would be such a tragedy.
Yeah.
I mean, we somehow, by accident or because of God or something, consciousness has come into existence. And it's this profound, it's this extraordinary privilege.
Yeah.
And if it snuffs out, that is the ultimate tragedy. That's the definition of tragedy, even if machines keep running. So what?
Yes, totally.
You know, so what?
Because I would imagine one of the things that just seems implicit to consciousness is it's able to grasp how small it is compared to everything else.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, you know, consciousness affords you to we can understand and touch that we don't understand.
Right.
Like we can somehow reach into the world and be in deep consideration of these huge and deep and profound things that we don't fully understand, but yet somehow are constituting us.
Yes.
Right, in some way, and have a relationship with that.
Yes.
Right.
And now it finally matters to answer some of these questions. We've been, you know, philosophers talk about consciousness as being the hard problem.
Yeah.
Because fundamentally, it's in some sense, it's basically undefinable. And also, you can never really know if the person across from you is in fact conscious or if you're just imagining it, right? That's like the fundamental conundrum of this consciousness research bit.
Yes.
And what we're saying now is because of AI, we might actually be able to finally define it, answer it, and build it. Boom. It will exist, and then we'll know.
Yeah.
That's the end. We figured that one out.
Yeah.
And it's the same with all of these questions, which is an interesting, perhaps, segue to our guest that came on after Daniel Fajella, Curtis Yarvin.
Right.
Curtis Yarvin came in. And, you know, Curtis is, wow. Curtis is, I mean, he's one of the most hated intellectuals in America at the moment because he's notorious. Because he is something of a troll, and because he was kind of the intellectual power behind Steve Bannon in the first administration and now J.D. Vance in this one. And he's close friends with Peter Thiel and all the other hateds, right? But he's long made this argument that democracy at scale just isn't working. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like if you get down to his fundamental truth that he's identified, it's that. It's like, look, guys. Democracy at scale is just failing us at this point.
Yeah.
It was great up till here, but now, man, are we in a mess of hot water.
Yeah.
Right? Everything's lowest common denominator. Institutions are crumbling. Like, it's just a mess. And then his solution is, well, what about the opposite? What if we go to a monarchy or a dictatorship? And I've never been able to figure out, is he really being serious about that? Is that the prescription? Is he really serious? That's what we should do? Or is that just more of his trolling to point to the fact that, look, democracy itself is not working. We need to change up the way we address it. I don't know what the answer is, but it strikes me that hearkening back to what we were just saying, we're in this era of applied philosophy. We're going to start experimenting. We can start looking at these various political philosophies and using them in, you know, micro communities or maybe on a global scale and see if they actually work. What am I missing about what Curtis was trying to say to us?
Well, I think at a if I kind of relax, right, from the specific words he uses, right. He's conveying something, I think, pretty profound, right? I think what he may be conveying is that, you know, what actually matters may not be politics as we understand it.
Yeah.
Right? That any sense of, you know, the degree of importance that we put on politics, right, at some level, he's definitely saying, as it is, that's not touching the things that matter. Which I think implicitly we start to go, well, what is it that really matters, right? And he's kind of a Socratic figure in a lot of ways.
For sure.
Yeah, his irony is striking.
Yes.
And so I would imagine him personally, if he even thinks in these terms, he doesn't know what he means. Just like Socrates didn't really know what he meant ultimately, right? Oh,
guy, that is such an insight. That is such an insight. The whole thing about Curtis, he's asking pointed questions.
Yes.
And he just guides you along with pointed questions and little anecdotes and stories to have you have an insight, but he actually doesn't know.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
So great.
Yes. And I think that's, in some ways, that seems like one of the best ways to situate ourselves in our time, right? Is like, because if you really kind of look at everything that we're facing and you're honest about it, it's perplexing as hell. Like a humility, right? I think has got to be at the center of all of it, right? In a certain way. And I would imagine that I think what he's saying is that if it's politics, right, you need to be able to respond so fast to what's happening, right, that there's no way a democracy or basically government as we understand it can actually respond to what's what's true.
You know, that there's something else about Curtis generally in that conversation that comes to mind, which is that he's not troubled by politics. Mm-hmm. He finds politics fascinating, and it's the study for him. But, you know, when the left was in office, he wasn't troubled. I worked with him during that time. He was fine. Everything's fine. You know, they're making bad decisions. I would do it a different way. But he wasn't traumatized by it. And likewise with the current administration, you know, some of the things that they do are great and some aren't so great, but he's just not troubled by it. And I've always loved that about him. Yeah. You know, the political dialogue these days is so much about being upset.
Yeah.
It's so much about being deeply angry, indignant about the other side's behavior. And you know, the truth is like they're politicians, they're doing their best. Some of it's good, some of it's bad. Like, yes, we should tweak it around the edges, but like, let's not be so troubled.
Totally.
You know, and that which says to me that you're right. He's trying to actually, by speaking about politics, he's trying to actually pull the lens back.
Yeah.
To something that's much more meaningful.
That's what he conveys at a deeper level to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is why every time you talk to him about his kids, he starts crying.
Yeah.
Or every time you talk to him about family, he starts crying.
Yeah.
You know, he cares about that stuff more.
Right.
Yeah. Well, so after Curtis left the studio, we had a break, and then Jim Rutt.
Jim Rutt.
Jim Rutt.
Hello, fellas.
Let me do his voice. Jim Rutt. Hey, guys. How you doing?
Let's talk about some autopoiesis.
I know, right? He's like, I love it. Jim is so fascinating, right? I mean, he made so much stupid money in the early, early days of the internet. And then he was just like, peace out. I'm not making any more money anymore. And in fact, he thinks that making money, side conversations I've had with him, he thinks it's, you know, like focusing on making money is like the most distasteful thing you could possibly do.
Yeah.
What Jim cares about is ideas. He wants to dig deep into ideas. That man, he reads basically every paper, every scientific paper that gets published end to end and can comment on it.
Yes.
His mind is just vast. And so I don't know if we actually had the right conversation with him. There are so many directions we could have gone.
Yeah.
But we went down the conversation, the rabbit hole of Game B.
Yes.
This notion that culture is headed in the wrong direction. We all feel it. We all have this various different approaches to how to solve it. But what if we pull the lens back and create a whole new operating system?
Yes.
For society and culture,
yes.
And start to test it out in small decentralized communities where people can, you know, figure out what the next operating system is going to be based on better values.
Right.
And he and a bunch of philosophers got together and for years worked on this stuff. And I got to tell you, the interview was interesting, but it also fell flat for me in certain areas because it just didn't seem practical.
Yeah.
You know, so many hippie communities have tried to do this.
Yeah.
You know, and here are these guys. Sure, they're super smart. Sure, they don't want to be.
Right.
You know, they don't want to be woo-woo about it.
Right.
But how can you not? How can you even ask that question without not being a bit head in the clouds?
Yeah.
I kept feeling like I was missing something there too. What was I missing?
Right.
What was I missing in that conversation, guy?
Well, I think one of the things what I hear you kind of object to implicitly is this sense that the right response is going to be something that we design.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
Like a top-down thing. There, I would imagine there's a sense in which there's something going on that's more bottom-up, that if we come at it from a design architectural thing, that we're not in the appropriate relationship to what we're trying to solve in some sense. Is that right?
Ah, that's great. And you know, that harkens back to what you were just saying about Curtis.
Yeah.
That actually you can talk about any vertical you want, but we don't have the answers.
Yes.
And we're not going to have the answers.
Yes.
And that is in fact the problem. All we can do is explore them.
Yeah.
Yep. I think that's about right. Well, that's a good spot to take a break, and we'll pick this back up after these words.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. That's 800-915-9654.
Do you have a book? Get it out of your mind and make it a real book with a free guide to book publishing. Trying to publish a book yourself can be complicated. It takes a lot of time. Time that you could spend writing your book or even more books. Do what you do best. We can do the rest. Thousands of authors across the nation have trusted our book publishing service. We have the connections to help you get your book printed, distributed, and sold on Amazon, Apple Books, Barnes & Noble, and bookstores nationwide. We can do it faster than you can on your own. Get your free guide to publishing. It's a free phone call. Remember, make this free call right now and learn how to turn your book into something real that people can buy. Get your free writer's guide. Call right now. 800-482-8399. 800-482-8399. 800-482-8399. That's 800-482-8399.
Do you have diabetes? I'm sure you've seen the television commercials on the new CGM devices from all the top brands and how well they can help you manage your diabetes. Do you have the latest and newest in diabetes technology? The Diabetes Solutions Center carries most of the top brands, and the great news is your insurance may cover most of the cost. Call our special CGM hotline today, and our friendly representatives will help see if you qualify. You could get a new CGM from the top brands at little or no cost to you. Make living with diabetes easier. You are just one free phone call away to learn if your insurance covers the cost. So make this free call today to the Diabetes Solutions Center and learn for free how to get your new continuous glucose monitor.
800-659-7997. 800-659-7997. 800-659-7997. That's 800-659-7997.
Welcome back to Leaking Timeline with Eric and Guy. We're live on Sports Byline. You know, Guy, we've been talking about this question. The arc of human history. Where are we? Where are we headed? What should we do about it? And we've had all these guests who've tried to answer that question. And I think for you and me, this conversation, you know, the guests just come and then they go. And they contribute, but for you and me, we're still asking, what is there to do? This question, this question continues.
Yeah.
And that's the thread of the show.
Yeah.
And so we've reviewed everybody that we've had on the show so far. So let's talk about who's coming up.
Yeah.
All right. So to continue that question, continue asking, where are we? Mm-hmm. So the next guest that we have. So the next two guests are Kate Lehman and John Vervaeke. Now, they're very, very, very different. Kate Lehman is, she's a freshman at Stanford who was one of the first students at an AI school in Austin, Texas called Alpha School, where she did all of her academic education using an AI platform, and she just crushed it. And all of her kids, all the other kids at school just crushed it. So she's coming on to speak about what's it like being a young person, a student, in this age of AI, like what's possible using these tools to further yourself as a human being. I cannot wait to hear what she has to say. I've been following her for a long time.
Right.
So she's a little bit of a celebrity to me, even though she's a kid. Okay. Then we've got John Vervaeke.
Yes.
Now, John Vervaeke is a famous philosopher.
Not
famous enough. And he's going to answer the question very specifically about meaning and the sacred. Is that right?
Absolutely. Which I think is at the heart of why we're doing the show.
That's why we're doing the show.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I can't wait to have those conversations. We'll see you next time. Same time next week, Sports Byline.